Blog Talk Radio.
What up, what up, what up? This is a recruit with Adrian Reese, and you're tuned in. Brought to you by Soar Radio. Big ups to my man, PDP Richardson. And we're going to get into it today. Got a good show planned for you today. But just as always, I don't want to begin anything without first acknowledging God and welcoming Christ into what we have going on right now. So everybody out there, if you tuned in, I ask you just bow your head and let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we come to you today, Father God, first of all, saying thank you. Thank you, God, for right now. Thank you for this time, Lord, that you brought us together to speak on your behalf, God. I ask you to just watch over the show, watch over all that's said, Lord, that may be glorifying and uplifting to you, God, and it may be edifying to your kingdom, God. I ask you to just continue to lift us up, Lord. Watch over the words that are said, the questions that are asked, the answers that are given. I ask you to just help them to be answered, Lord, in the way that you desire for them to be answered, Lord. Ask in the way you desire that they be asked. I ask you to watch over all the listeners, everybody who's listening and tuning in today, Father God. Help them to hear from you, Lord. Not to hear me, Lord, not to hear my guests, Lord, but to hear from you, Father God. Help someone to come to know you better on tonight, Father God, to draw closer to you, Father God. You increase, Lord, so that we may decrease, Father God. I ask you to just have your way, Lord. Continue to do what we do, Lord. Continue to do what you do, Lord. Do your thing, Father God. Do your thing, Lord, and let your will be done, Lord. Allow us, Lord, to just walk in your will, Father God. Remove every bit of nervousness that may be within me or my guests, Father God. Just take it out right now, Father God, and just allow yourself to be heard, Father God. We ask you to just do what you do, Lord, and do your thing. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
And I'm excited about the show. I'm very excited about the show. I got a special guest on with me this today, Mr. DJ Whiting. He's actually one of my cousins, but he's actually someone who, whether he knew it or not, played a part in the recruitment of me, in recruiting me to Christ. He was saved before I was, and around about the same time that I gave my life to Christ, we kind of got connected and we came a little bit closer, but really came a lot closer. And just watching his walk and seeing how, you know, even him being a couple of years younger than me and seeing how dedicated he was in his walk and in his walk with Christ and just his passion and his desire to know Christ and to live, not just know him, but to live his word. It was inspiring to me. And it was, it made me want to do the same. And so it was, he was definitely a recruiter for Christ, whether he knew it or not. He was making a disciple in me, whether he knew it or not, because I was just simply watching the life that he was living. I was watching him put feet to his faith. And that's just something that has inspired me, you know, even back then, and continues to inspire me today, because he continues to do more and more and to serve God in every way possible. And I just, I'm just excited to have him on the show. So with no further ado, I'd like to welcome Mr. DJ Whiting. Hey, what's going on, DJ?
What's going on, Adrian, man? Bro, I'm glad to be here, man. I'm excited about just the opportunity to just a fellowship with you, man, for a few minutes. So I'm glad to be here, bro, and thank you for the kind words.
And I'm glad to have you, man, and I'm excited to have you, man. And you know, I've told the people a little bit about yourself, but just go ahead and I've told the people a little bit about you, but go ahead and fill them in just a little bit about yourself. Exactly, who are you?
Well, I am a young man that is from. Originally, I was born in Mississippi. I was a son of an airman. My dad was in the Air Force, and so I was born in Mississippi. But shortly after my birth, man, I moved to East Texas and to Easton, Texas, which I'm sure you've told the people a lot about Easton.
Easton, Texas.
I moved out. Yeah, so I moved out to Easton with the family of my mother, with my mom's side of the family. Grew up in Easton and went to school at Tatum High School. And as a young kid, man, I experienced divorce at a young age, and I experienced a lot of different struggles in life and things like that. But ultimately, man, by God's grace, man, I've grown to become an individual who really has a reverence for Christ and for His Word and for His Church, and that's kind of a very, very vague response to who I am, but I guess that's what I would start with. I will say that I'm also newly married. I am a married man.
Married man.
Yeah, and been walking in marriage for a few years. Or not a few years, but for a little bit over a year, I was kind of boosting.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, newly married and learning the ropes of marriage, and that's pretty much who I am. I like to play music, so that's another kind of thing. But who am I? I'm just a man trying to walk in the ways of Christ.
And that kind of sums it up, man. You know, like you said, a man trying to walk in the ways of Christ, and that's the perfect that's all that we can be. That's all you can ask for. And you know, you said you hit on your family just a little bit. Now, are you an only child?
No, I am the oldest. I'm the oldest child, the oldest son. I have a younger brother who's 5 years younger than me named Darius, and I have a brother that's been somewhat adopted named Wayne Glover, and then I had a sister who passed away back when I was 11. I think I was 11 years old. So I'm the oldest of, I guess, technically four.
So, and I know you said coming from you experienced divorce at an early age, and being the oldest of four, and like you just said, experiencing a death in the family, losing a sibling. You know, how was that? How was dealing with that, losing a sibling at an early age?
Man, it was very difficult, especially because they were so close. The divorce. You know, I experienced divorce at 10 years old, and then my sister's death was at 11 or 12, and so they happened almost to me. It seemed like they happened back to back, and so that was honestly somewhat traumatizing, especially because I had been raised in the church. I was a preacher's kid, and I don't think I shared that, but I was a preacher's kid, and so experiencing those things very, you know, in such a close window really kind of challenged me, I think. I think it left a lot of questions in my head, because I thought that in being a Christian, that meant that at that point, as a kid, I thought, you know, when you accept Christ, you know, you live a good life and you're blessed and all of these different things. And so everything that I saw after I quote-unquote accepted Christ at 10 or in that age range wasn't too good. So it was challenging, man. I'll say that it really, really was a challenge.
And with that, you know, that's something that, you know, I can't sit here and say, you know, I can relate or anything like that, because I can't. And that's something I don't know how I would be able to process through that. But in order to, and just everything, whether it's a divorce or the loss of a sibling, and just seeing how you're still the man you are today, and just in going through those things at an early age, how did that really shape you in your upbringing and your family life? How did that shape you in the man that you are now?
Well, I'll say this. To be honest, man, it actually, in a sense, I feel like it. Here's the real story. The real story is it really broke me. And what I mean by that is experiencing such difficulty at a young age And I say difficulty, and unfortunately divorce is so common now that it's like, okay, well, honestly, man, everybody deals with that. But when I say that, I mean the divorce, and I mean the death of my sister, and then just another thing that happened is at 13, my mom had decided that she was going to date again, and so she met this guy whose name was Greg, and I remember, like, yesterday, this guy came to our house, and you know, as soon as he came in the door, we were like, you know, is there anything I can do for you? He was like, yeah, man, you got coke. I grabbed this guy coke, and my mom showed this guy, you know, showing him our home, and this guy drops dead. Literally, he has a massive heart attack, and before he even makes it to the hospital, he's dead. So going through those
right there in the, days, right there at your house?
Right there in our house, man. Like, seriously, he dropped, like, he had a massive heart attack and was dead. Probably by the time the ambulance got there, they still took him to the hospital. But yeah,
man.
And so, honestly, like I said a minute ago, man, I experienced things at a young age, man. It really kind of drove me out of the. In a way, it kind of drove me. It pushed me away from God because I started, you know, wanting to ask these questions. And I started wanting to, you know, wonder why. You know, the most famous question is, you know, God, why is this happening to me? And so. In my years of high school, to be completely honest, man, I guess the best way to describe myself would be a hypocrite because I still was familiar with church, man. I was still even participating because I grew up a musician. But in reality, man, there really wasn't any walk to support the things that I was saying. And I think what happened is God allowed me, right as I was in the later end of high school and getting ready to transition into college, man, God allowed me to really, it was through another loss. I lost my grandfather, and from that, like, was, I don't know, like the breaking point, and this is when I really began to cry out to God, and I was like, all right, listen, man, something's going to have to change, and so that was really when I believed that my heart was regenerated and when truth, like I really understood salvation and I moved out of the religion, out of going to church, out of participating just in church to actually living this faith that I was proclaiming.
And you said this was later after high school, right?
Yeah, it was actually the transition kind of happened right, I'd say, to be honest, which I'd say in early college, that's when it was definite. Because I remember kind of wondering, Adrian, to be honest with you, kind of wondering if Jesus was what I had heard him to be. And so my experience with Christ, and a lot of people don't know this, my experience was is because I had grown up in the church, man, because I had experienced church hurt and because I had, you know, seen a lot of things as a kid, when you get, you know, a little older, you start, like I mentioned earlier, you start questioning something, you start asking some questions. And so what I did, because I had got, a friend gave me a book, and it actually introduced me to all religions, man. It wasn't just Christianity, but it introduced me to a lot of different religions. And I remember reading kind of through this book and searching for what I guess quote-unquote truth was, and that's when, like I said a minute ago, that's when I really experienced the love of God, and I really, you know, my eyes were really open to what sin was and what sin does to us and ultimately to the cross of Christ, man. So, like I mean, a lot of people don't know that because, you know, I throughout this process, man, I was still, you know, in church and still somewhat participating in church.
And so in, you said in reading that book that exposed you to all different types of religion, did, were at that time, I know you said, and I can only imagine, I mean, having experienced everything you're experiencing divorce at an early age, losing a sister and seeing literally someone lose their life before your eyes, you know, I can only imagine that that was a time when, like you said, you were questioning why, if Jesus was real, like, what's going on?
Right.
Like, you know, what is happening? You know, this isn't supposed to be what God is about, you know.
Right.
And it's like the opposite of, I guess, what we've been fed from the church of, you know, of blessings and life and abundant life, but you're seeing
right.
death, literally.
Right.
You're
right.
seeing death in front of you, and you're seeing, you know, marriage not working out and homes being parted. And just in seeing that was how did you even stay within the church or stay close to the church to still have a relationship with God?
Well, it was me understanding, I think, that it was first off me understanding the fact that for one, people are not perfect, and not saying that in as any sort of compromise to any sort of sin, but the fact that even as Christians, man, like we are we're in a walk. You know, it's the Bible. You know, it's kind of talked about as, you know, this walk with Christ, and we progress. The reason that I think that I was I obviously stayed, I guess, with the church is because so much of Scripture talks about how Christ loves the church, and that's knowing how messed up we are, and knowing that He still loves us, and so, and that being true even in my life, like even in my relationship with Christ, knowing that there were still things that I was doing wrong, and Christ was still faithful and still, you know, still loving to me, and so, knowing, you know, going into church, knowing that, you know, we're all trying and striving by the power of the Holy Spirit to live obediently to the Word of God, but also knowing that God gives us grace because, you know, sometimes we mess up, sometimes we miss the mark. And so I didn't condemn or not, I didn't just abandon church because of the fact that I had a bad experience, What it taught me to do, Adrian, is it taught me to trust more than any person. It taught me to trust completely in God and in Jesus. And so, and to understand that we are still, you know, we're humans progressing in sanctification.
And that's a great understanding. And, you know, there's some, even for your age and understanding it at that age, at a young age, that's a blessing. You know, for God to even open your eyes and open your mind to that.
Right.
And just being able to, I mean, being a preacher's son and experiencing all that you experienced at an early age and still staying there. And I know you mentioned that you're a musician. You know, what instrument?
I grew up playing the drums, man. You know, my dad's preaching, I'm playing the drums, my mom's playing the organ. And then when I got, and so I kind of did that all through my childhood. And then when I got into high school, or kind of later on in high school, the keyboard kind of piqued my interest. And so I start kind of messing around on the keyboard. And then when I went into college, I actually studied music at Panola. And that's when I kind of transition again from keyboard to acoustic guitar. And so acoustic guitar is kind of where I think I've kind of found my love, or I've kind of found my home. And so that's the instrument that I am kind of focusing on right now. So, yeah.
So was it at a point in your early years when, after experiencing everything that you experienced with your family, do you think that music kind of kept you in the church, your love and your passion for music and the fact that you were a musician, is that kind of what kept you around the church?
Absolutely, man. That's actually the you know, kind of one of the main things, or maybe even the only thing that kind of kept me in, is the fact that I was so devoted to music and I love music so much. And so, you know, even as I talked about earlier, even when I was living in complete hypocrisy, man, I still loved music, and I still wanted to go and serve in music, and so yeah, it actually kept me there, and it also allowed me to continue to hear the truth being preached. Like I said, even though I wasn't living it, I was still hearing the truth being proclaimed on the regular basis, and so so I think that was even a blessing in disguise, because if it had not been for music, then I probably would not even have remained there to continue to hear the truth.
And that's amazing, because it shows, you know, that's a gift that God bless you with, to be able to, and those talents, to be able to play the drums and the keyboard and the acoustic guitar. But the fact that even in times, this is just me on the outside looking in, but it seems like in the times when you were really questioning God, God still gave you, he still drew you closer to him through something that he gave, in the fact
right.
of your talents. And the talents that he gave to you and he blessed you with kept you close to him. And ultimately, it allows you to, like you said, still be fed by the word. And even if you weren't really receiving it all, you were still being fed in the sense of you hearing it and you being around it. You being surrounded by the church. You being surrounded by prayer, by praying people, by other saints, and just how God used something that you love, a talent, to draw you to him, to your Savior.
Right.
And that's amazing just to see that and just to understand that. And because a lot of times, I know with musicians and in, you know, just being real in the black church, sometimes musicians are idolized. And not just musicians, but music is more so idolized more than, and music is sought out, good music is sought out more than good preaching and good teaching and sound teaching. And how a lot of times I see musicians, they'll do their part and kind of, I guess, they play in during the songs, but when the preacher gets up, they get up. And, you know, they go to the back or something like that. And how... you know, they're, in a sense, they're not being fed the word, and they're performing. Now, was that ever a situation where, was that ever the case for you, to where you felt like it was more of a performance and not you actually using it to serve God?
You know what, actually, yeah. And, man, there was actually many times, and even now, because, like you said a minute ago, man, music is such a gift, and it's so glorified, not just in the church, but in the world altogether. I mean, some of the most famous people that we know are what, musicians. I mean, also in the church, yeah, it is something that, you know, sometimes is, you know, can be put on a pedestal or whatever. But yes, I did struggle with that, and I always, even now, man, I have to continue to pray, like, God, help me to remember that this is a gift. This is not something, I'm not worthy of any praise. No matter how good or bad you are as a musician, like, it's never about you. And I always had to pray that, because, you know, there are times when you know, after, you know, a service or something like that, you know, people come up to you and you know, they want to be around you, and they want to touch you, and they want to talk to you. I'm not saying that like I'm great, but I'm just saying like I see it sometimes, and it's just like, God, help us to remember that it ain't about us. Like, you've given us this gift, but it's all about you. And so that's always been something I pray, like, God, please don't ever let me get blind into thinking that it's about me, you know, when it comes to music. But please help me to stay focused and to remember that's all about you. And I remember one particular moment in my life where I really think I was like, I had really kind of missed it, man. Like, I was starting to kind of get a big head, I guess, about music. And I remember God sent this brother into my life, and this guy, you know, I had invited him out. I was in his band, and I invited him. I said, hey, why don't you come listen to my band play? And he came, and he listened, and, you know, as the show was going on, I'm looking at him and nodding and all this stuff, you know, trying to make sure he's watching me. And after the show, he actually called me out. He's like, man, you're not doing this for Christ. Like, y'all singing about Jesus, but, man, you're not doing this for Christ. Man, you're doing this for your own self. Like, you're doing this because you like the way it makes you feel.
Mm-hmm.
And after he told me that, bro, like, it was a time where I actually probably didn't really participate much in music for all, it was about a year. Because it was like I was just so full of pride, man. Like, I was so full of self and so full of my own, like, just doing it because I wanted to be, quote-unquote, glorified or quote-unquote seen. But God uncovered it. He used that brother to uncover that, man. And so yeah, bro, I guess to get ultimately back to your question, man, it, you know, it's definitely something that I'm that I even now, you know, as I've grown up, like I still pray, like God, help me to remember that this music is an offering of worship to you. And it's not about me. It's not about how good I think I am or anything else.
And that's exactly what it is. It's all for the glory of God. And, you know, for everybody listening, I can attest, you know, DJ, he do his thing on the drum. And he does his thing in music. And, you know, I know just how easy it is, whether with anything, any talent that we may have, it's so easy to get caught up in that and allow that to, and, you know, we start feeling ourselves. And
right.
And the more we start feeling ourselves, the less we start feeling of God. And
right,
it's like we're getting further and further away from God because we're getting so into self when we should be getting into God. And, you know, and like you said, with music being such a tool to draw people in, whether it's in the church or just in the world in general, music is a huge inspiration factor. And there's, it can change your mood. It can make you sad. It can make you happy. It can make you want to fight. It can do whatever it needs to be done. But there's so much power behind music. And, you know, God created us to worship. That's the reason for us as human beings. God created us to worship Him. And music is just another form, another way for us to ultimately do what God created us to do in worshiping. And how so many times in the world it's used to draw people to the wrong thing and draw people away from Christ-like things. And just seeing how, you know, you doing it within the church and doing it for the glorification of God, it's really inspiring. And it's encouraging to me just to, you know, because music has somewhat gotten a bad reputation throughout the years that there's no more good music. And everything is, you know, basically glorifying to the devil instead of glorifying to God. And just knowing that there are still musicians out there with a true heart for Christ. And just like you said, in the times in your life when you were really questioning God, if God was real, music is what kept you there, is what kept you close. And ultimately, it's what kind of drew you back in, is your love for music and how just that can be the case for anybody else. You know, God has so many ways of drawing people to Him. And you know, you hit on the fact earlier that you've been married a little bit over a year, and I know your wife, Brianna, and she's a singer, and she's a beautiful singer. And, you know, how has your relationship with Christ changed since getting married, and how does that feel?
Well, I'll say this, man. You are... When you get married, man, your relationship with Christ changes. I say it becomes like I think marriage has drawn me to Christ more because, in specifically the role of a husband, like you realize that first off, I cannot be a good husband. I cannot be a good leader unless I learn from, you know, the one who even created the entity of marriage, from Christ. And so it's drawn me closer to Christ because it's helped me to depend on Him even more. Yeah, I've been married, like I mentioned, I think I mentioned it earlier, I've been married a little bit over a year, and it's humbling, Adrian, because, you know, you think marriage is going to be one way, or, you know, you have the expectation. And like I said earlier, I had come from a broken marriage, and so I was so eager to prove, I've been a little eager to prove, you know, that marriage still works the right way and things like that. But yeah, I mean, I think I may have sidetracked off the question, but marriage has drawn me a lot closer to Christ, man, and it's for one of the specific things is increase my prayer life. Because, like I said, I'm no longer just leading myself, man. I'm also, you know, leading my wife.
And, you know, that's exactly it. And I've shared with the listeners before, you know, I'm engaged right now and in this season and preparing myself to be a husband. And just everything you just said and knowing that I'm no longer just leading myself and I'm leading a wife and just having to, you know, really be in line and follow, really following God in order to be able to lead in the right way.
That's right.
And, like, in marriage, has your perspective of what love really is changed any since really coming together and becoming one with someone else and really having to share with a wife and having to share everything and having to, I don't want to say have to, but just accepting someone else and someone having to accept you as you are, your flaws and all, has that opened your eyes to what love really is and how, and has that changed your perspective of how Christ really loved, because that's how he tells us to love the way he loved the church?
Yeah, I would say so, mainly because in loving my wife, man, you know, marriage is endless, and so you get to see, you know, every side of this person. You're not just seeing the, you know, the Instagram photo when it looks like everything's so happy and all of these things like that. Like, you're living with this individual, so you see every shade of them in a sense. And so, yeah, man, like, I've learned that I don't know if my perspective on love has changed, but I think I've learned to love deeper, because, you know, marriage is a journey, and there are sometimes some curveballs, and there are sometimes some days where, you know, you're not acting the best, or your spouse may not, you know, respond the way you want them to respond, but yet feel like you're required to love them. That has taught me, I guess, something about God's love for me, you know, in the fact that I see what it's like, you know, I see how my wife loves me even on the days where I don't do what it is that I maybe should have done, or I don't, you know, act the way I should act, but yet it feels she loves me, has just been more and more of a reflection of what, you know, how God's love for us works, man. And it's also been vice versa, man. It's taught me how to, you know, and I'm still learning. I'm not saying like I got it, but I'm saying like I'm learning more of how to love even in, you know, even in difficult seasons and even when things aren't always going right.
And that's, you know, I've had in talking to different people about marriage and asking different questions, you know, a lot of people and majority of people have told me that marriage is your first ministry when it comes to being married, and that's your first ministry because that's something that God has entrusted you with, and you don't really, even with you and your marriage, you and Brianna, and, you know, that's a ministry because you don't realize how many people are watching on the outside looking in. You know, I'm on the outside looking in and watching, and, you know, that's a ministry in itself. It may not be you literally telling me things about marriage, but just me watching from afar. And
right.
If things are watching how you lead and the response that she gives and the relationship and the vibe that you two have, you know, that is a ministry, and that speaks to me, someone on the outside looking in and really trying to take note. And if that ministry is not in order, then other things outside of that, there's no way to minister outside of that. And if your
right.
ministry at home and your marriage and with your wife is out of whack, then you trying to minister in music, you know, would be out of whack, because that's where it starts. That's your home, that's your heart, and that's where it begins. And that's amazing to me, because I pointed out before, you guys being both being involved in music, and you guys, I've seen, I know you guys do music together, and just even in that, how has that, just God bringing a wife into your life who shares the same passions as you, how has that opened your eyes to just God's faithfulness?
Bro, it's been, I'll say it's been amazing, first off. And it has opened my eyes to God's faithfulness. in the sense that God knew exactly what I needed in a wife. And I think that it's just awesome, and that it's a blessing that, you know, he blessed me with a wife who, you know, who has the same desire for music that I have. So it's been amazing, man, because God has opened doors for us to minister together, and that in itself is a privilege, and it's something that we, you know, obviously we both enjoy, but it's something that we've gotten to do, you know, and travel a little bit while we've done it. We actually got the opportunity even to go to Africa, kind of based off of music, kind of based off the fact that we would go over there and kind of lead the charge as far as worship music goes. And so, and then obviously just, you know, here kind of locally in the DFW area, it's been a blessing, man, and it's just been amazing to just serve in music with my wife. So it's been awesome.
And so, in you mentioned going and being able to go to Africa and how, you know, really music kind of paved that way, or opened that door. But ultimately, it was God, the gift that God gave you, opened the door to something else. And, you know, not just the gift that God gave you, but you using the gift to glorify God. God allowed that to open the door for you to go to Africa. And so in you going to Africa, how was that experience?
It was life-changing, man. It was life-changing in quite a few different aspects. Yeah, man, we think we're going over there just, you know, to play music and to worship, you know, and to travel. But you get over there, Adrian, and your whole world is just turned upside down, you know, so to speak. First off, I'll say that Africa was amazing and absolutely beautiful, and also very humbling, man, because the particular part we went and visited was called Zambia. And just being in Africa, man, and just experiencing a whole other culture, for one, it helped me to see just really how fortunate we are here. Just how blessed we are, and, you know, how, honestly, also how much we take for granted. that's one of the things that allowed me to see. But, you know, it was also amazing, man, to see, you know, people on the other side of the world who don't have, as I mentioned, as much as we have yet, but yet are so much happier. Yet they, you know, they don't really seem, they didn't really seem to be too worried about it, and content with what they have and what God had blessed them with, man. And so Africa was amazing, man. And you know, I've made a lot of friends there, and I've still been in communication and just continuing to even fellowship with those brothers even since I've been back. So.
And you know, I've never been to Africa, of course, but just in knowing that I know different people who've been, and like you said, just seeing the difference in them not having as much, but being seeming to be more content than we are.
Yeah.
And you know, could you kind of illustrate exactly what it was that you saw as far as the things that we may have or may take for granted that they look at as, you know, not necessarily a necessity for them?
Yeah, for sure, man. The first thing that comes to mind is just the ability that we have in our home to go and, for one, to go and take a shower. I remember that as we were traveling on our bus, we were driving through Zambia, man, and we would look over, you know, how you look out your car, you know, we'd look out and we'd see, you know, a lake or a pond, and in that lake or pond, you got people over there bathing themselves. You know, which for us just doesn't sound like, you know, it's just, it's hard for us to really imagine that because we ain't never seen nothing like that, really. Mm-hmm. And then just obviously, you know, how fortunate we are and how blessed we are to be able to have, for one, a refrigerator, you know, and choices and options when it comes to food. When, you know, in the particular part that I went to, man, you know, they ate they ate this, I can't think of the name of it right now, but they ate, it kind of tasted like a like mashed potatoes. Like they, that was the only thing they ate, was this kind of like porridge, kind of like mashed potatoes, and that's all they ate, man. You know, we have choices and we have options and we have, you know, fast food restaurants everywhere and nice restaurants and, you know, and all sorts of varieties, whereas, man, they didn't even really have that, man. So like I said, it opened my eyes to not only how blessed we are, but it also opened my eyes in a sense to just, you know, the responsibility that we have as Christians to make sure that we're loving our brothers and sisters, even those that are on, you know, the other side of the world, and from different cultures and different regions and things. Because the church is global, man. It's not just the American church, the African church. Like, it's one organism that encompasses the whole globe. So it opened me up to something. It definitely opened me up to the reality of the global church now. Those are brothers and sisters just as much as, you know, you and me are brothers. So
now that's that's amazing just to hear, you know, what it actually is like, because, you know, of course, like I said, I've never been to Africa, but, you know, I have these images in my head of what Africa is like, and it's just, you know, people aren't really happy because of the things that they're lacking or the things that we feel that they're lacking. But like you pointed out, they're not looking at it and they're not living their lives like they're lacking anything. Mm-hmm. But they're content in the things that they have. And how did that increase the way that you were able to worship and the way that you were able to be thankful? And for the things that you have, and not only the things that you have, but to just worship a God who had enough grace on you and mercy on you to bless you with all that you may have taken for granted. Did that increase your worship experience at all?
It did. It helped me appreciate the things that we have and the things that we're blessed with. And then it also helped me, the other side of the coin is, it helped me to realize, man, that so much stuff that we think matters, it really doesn't, man. Like, you know, it helped me in two ways. It helped me to be grateful because, you know, yes, man, we are really blessed to live in this country. But then it also showed me, I think, you know, simplicity in how, you know, because I feel like, you know, so many times I know in my life, man, like I've always felt like, man, I'm not this or that because I don't have this car, that car, and all of these things. And it's just like, in reality, it's like, man, stuff don't matter, man. What matters is that you have, you know, what you need to survive and to get through the day. And the fact that God has blessed you with just the basic things, you know, just having the basics is in itself, man, it's a blessing. It's a major blessing. And so that's another thing that I would say that it really helped me to see.
And that's, you know, that just makes me think about the Lord's Prayer and how we, in that prayer, we ask for our daily bread. And, you know, how in reality, in a practical sense, that's really what you saw them experiencing. They only had their daily bread. They only had enough to make it that day in some cases. But that's
right.
Literally what we're, I mean, so many times we pray and we repeat that prayer not really knowing what we're saying. And in that, we're simply asking God to meet our needs. And a lot of times needs get misconstrued with our want. And, you know, just hearing everything you said and how what you saw in Africa and how, you know, at the end of the day, their needs were met. But yet, to us, that would have been like, no, I need a shower. I need, you know, I need a refrigerator. I need choices. I want to get a number two. I don't want to get that. I want fries. I want, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But that's not a need. That's a want. And how God really supplies our needs. And, you know, just even in hearing it from you, it just allows me to see, even in, you know, having an apartment, having a house, having a roof over my head, having a car to drive, the necessities of life, you know, how that is God being so faithful and so merciful to me. At the end of the day, I don't deserve it.
Yeah.
I don't deserve any of it. I could I deserve less than what they have in Africa.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing to see that and to really come to understand that. And it just opens my eyes to God. And like you said, the church isn't just here in America. It's in Africa. It's around the world. You know, God is real over there, too. God is real everywhere. And God is faithful everywhere. And, you know, I just want to take this time out now to extend the invitation for whoever may be listening. If you haven't accepted Christ into your life, or you feel like you're lacking in some way, or you feel like you there's a void that can't be filled, I just want to invite you to welcome Christ into your heart, accept Christ into your heart, and allow him to do what he does and fill that void and fill that desire and open your eyes to how he is everything that we need. He is everything that we want. And I just want to take this time for whoever may be out there, if you're listening, you want to accept Christ into your heart, I ask you to just repeat this prayer with me. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, I come to you confessing that I'm a sinner and that I can't save myself. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross in my place and for my sin. I now am trusting him alone to forgive me and give me the gift of eternal life that he promised to give to anyone that came to him for it. Thank you, Lord, for saving me, and help me from this day forward to live a life pleasing to you. Amen. And I just want to be the first one, and I want us to be the first one to say congratulations and welcome to the team, welcome to the squad.
Amen, yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you know, this is the recruit. But we're recruiters for Christ, and we're all recruiters for Christ. That's what God called us to be. That's the Great Commission, to go ye therefore and make disciples. And that's something that God is making real and really opened my eyes to really make disciples. And what a disciple means is a true follower of Christ. And, you know, I just have to admit that, you know, when I first started the show, I feel like I had that mixed up of making a disciple. I wasn't really seeking to make disciples. I was making converts. And I was just seeking to get people to accept Christ and then move on to the next. Okay, I got, you know, one person accepted Christ. And it's not me. It's all God. But how that's not what God called us to do. He called us to make disciples and not converts. And, you know, with being a disciple is just really following Christ. Seeking, having a passion, having a heart for Christ. And in every recruitment process, there comes a time to commit. And if you just repeated that prayer, that's your verbal commitment. That's your verbal commitment to Christ, but it isn't binding. You don't sign on a dotted line. You sign on a dotted line every day in the life that you live, because there is a life that goes along with living for Christ. It's just putting feet to your faith. And it's not hard. And I don't say that meaning that there's not going to be any troubles or any rough patches, but I say it's not hard in the sense of knowing who you have on your team, you know, what team you're on, and how, you know, God is undefeated regardless. It may seem like we're down, it may seem like we're out, but at the end of the day, we're fighting a fixed fight. The outcome is already, Jesus paid the price at the cross. And, you know, knowing that, we get strength. We gain strength in going forward and in being able to push through everything that we may be facing in front of us. And I just want to, you know, congratulate you guys who just surrendered your life to Christ and welcome you. Like I said, welcome you to the team, because we just got stronger. And we just got stronger as a team, as a whole, because we are an organism. You know, the church is an organism, like you said, DJ. And we need each other to properly function, because we all play different parts. And I just want to thank you, DJ. Thank you for being on the show. Thank you for opening my eyes and sharing the wisdom and the knowledge that you shared. But I also want to ask you, you know, if give you this opportunity for if you and ask if you have any words of advice, what word of advice would you give to any Christian, whether they be a new believer or someone who's been a believer for years? What word of advice would you give to Christians?
Word of advice, I would encourage them just to continue in the journey. I know that, to be honest with you, man, sometimes it's getting more difficult, I think, to stand for Christ, because it's less accepted. It used to be kind of, a little bit more accepted and a little bit more popular, but remembering that it's not about any of those things, but about that relationship with Christ, the relationship that you have and you possess with Christ. And I would just encourage more than anything, man, to really continue in that pursuit and not to give up and not to fall weary or to faint, as the scripture talks about. But just to continue in the journey, man. God is for us. The scripture says, if God is for us, who can be against us? And so I just encourage them to continue in the journey, man. Like you said a minute ago, man, it's a fixed fight. Like we have the victory. We are overcomers, man. We are victorious in Christ, because of what he's done for us on the cross. So stay in it.
And there you have it, stay in it. Stick with it. Like DJ said, stick with it. Don't give up, because the Bible tells us this, like he just reiterated, if God is for us, who can be against us? If he's for us, who can be against us? And I thank you for that, DJ, because that's a reminder to me. And that's encouraging to me because, there's times, and I'm just being honest, just here in the last week or so, it's been a challenge for me. It's been a challenge. It seems like things are just getting harder and harder, and I draw encouragement from that. And I just say that because all of the listeners out there, I don't want it to feel like, I'm just on here putting on or I have everything figured out. But if this show is for nobody else, I know it's for me. I know God is using this to encourage me through your testimony, through your words of encouragement, DJ, and everything that you just said, because it's exactly what I needed to be encouraged to stick with it. And I just want to do the same thing and tell you, DJ, to stay encouraged and to stick with
Absolutely.
It. Keep doing what you're doing, because your light is definitely shining. Your light is definitely shining. I see it, and it's an encouragement to me. You've always been that encouragement to me. And, I just want to encourage you to continue to walk in that walk and putting feet to your faith and living for Christ. And but I want to, real quick, if anybody wanted to contact you or reach out to you in asking questions or anything that they may have, how would they go about doing that?
Honestly, I would give my email out. It's D Whiting, Whiting, 89@yahoo.com. I'm on social media. I'm on Facebook and Twitter, but I very rarely pay attention on there. So people could contact me there, but not a guarantee that I'm going to get back to them just because of the fact that I'm not always on it. So I give my email out, DWHITING89@yahoo.com. And if there's ever anything I can do, like you said, Adrian, man, it's not a thing that we've got the answers. I definitely don't have the answers. I'm definitely walking this walk out just like everybody else. But the scripture does say that iron sharpens iron. So, if I can help in any way, I definitely would love to. And then vice versa, I'm always, looking and wanting to be helped by, anyone who can. So, yeah.
And there you have it. That's, like he said, his email is dwhiting89@yahoo, right?
That's correct.
dwhiting89@yahoo.com. And, if you have any questions for DJ or if you just whatever it may be, hit him up. Send him an email. And he's on social media. He's on Facebook. But like he said, he's not really on there much. But that's also an option. But I'd like to thank DJ for being on the show. And if there's anybody who has questions or ideas for the show, for the recruit, to just hit me up. You can follow me on Twitter or Instagram @soul_fisherman. That's Soul_Fishman on Instagram and on Twitter. And you can hit me up on Facebook or shoot me an email at Adrian, A-D-R-I-A-N, at AdrianReese.com. Adrian at AdrianReese.com. And just any questions, suggestions, ideas for the show that you may have, because at the end of the day, this is not my show. This is God's show. And we are all God's children. We're all believers. We're all God's children. I want us all to be fed from this show, and not just me or not just DJ, but just hit me up. And DJ, I just want to thank you again. Thank you again for being on the show, man. I enjoyed it. I appreciate you. And it was definitely a blessing to me, and I know it was a blessing to all those listening. So I just want to say thank you again, man.
Bro, I just appreciate you for having me on, man. You know, it's just awesome to just to fellowship, bro. I mean, and that's what we do. And so, hey, I thank you for even having me on your show, and I you know, hope to maybe come back someday.
Oh yeah, and I'll definitely have you back, man. I'll definitely have you back. I'm gonna do a little reunion tour one day, but and get you back on.
Yeah.
But you know, you've been. For everybody listening out there, like DJ said, stick with it. His final words, stick with it. Don't give up on the fight, because the Bible tells us that if God is for us, who can be against us? And this has been, you've been tuned into The Recruit with Adrian Reese, broadcasting on Soul Radio, brought to you by my man, by way of my man, PDP Richardson. And we'll be here same time next Thursday. And until then, be blessed and be real.